Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
8:33 Central African time, and that time of the morning where we join our very own Member of Parliament, Ahmad Mansoor Sheikh Imam, leader of the NFP, on his segment, Parliamentary Tunes. Ahmad, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I'm just going to sing a couplet for you. I was a grapevine in Palestine. Allahu Akbar. Ahmad, how are you doing this fine, a beautiful morning? Assalamu alaikum.
Wa salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Nice, cool day in Durban. Of course, I think the entire weekend was not just flooded, but flooded with people. Of course, if you can see the number of people already on the beach. But once again, there's a problem in the promenade of West Street. The flats on the beachfront, entire area has been flooded with wastewater and sewage. And I can tell you that the buildings are battling to get hold of the municipality. I've made a whole lot of calls this morning, trying to get the intervention. But I can tell you, Itegwini is in an absolute mess. Absolutely mess. That's how bad the situation is. Yes, alhamdulillah, Palestine, yes, indeed. We need to raise our voices. We need to stand by them. Of course, war has escalated there. My greatest fear is that there's been a serious threat by the Israeli government to retaliate. And that is one of my concerns. They have no respect for the rule of law, for human rights, and the loss of life. Whether you are a child, an adult, or a woman, doesn't matter to them, or an aged person. Very importantly, if you saw the latest, I have a very, very, very close friend that is affected, like I was affected, of course. Minister Naledi Pandor has been apparently refused entry to go to Palestine. Can you imagine? The Israeli government has rejected her visa as well. And I hope it's a wake-up call for the South African government that we need to retaliate and treat them in the very same way. Can you imagine they don't even want to give us diplomatic visas to go there? And you're at the mercy of them, because even if you don't want to go to Israel at all, they're occupying land all over Palestine. So you have to go through the checkpoint. So you can see the problem that we are actually facing. But I see they're talking about also targeting Hamas now. So yes, you have to be concerned as to what Palestinian brothers are still enjoying the freedom of South Africa, coming in visa free, alhamdulillah. Great news. Gwedi Mantashe wants to know all these NGOs and NPOs, where they are getting their funding from. Well, it's something that I have raised before, that there is no control measure in place when it comes to funding. And there's no accountability as well. So, yes, that seems to be... we've had another great tragedy in the country. 6 of our soldiers died at this close to this training center in the Northern Cape. And I'm told that, they were warned about the area. South Africa is, well, of course, going into the quarterfinals of the World Cup. Let's wish and hope that they will make us proud and bring us some good news in the very difficult times we are having. Once again, the issue of the high cost of living is having a devastating effect on the lives of our people, which is resulting in the crime rate rocketing all over. It is clearly in South Africa is now, we must officially declare in a state of lawlessness. The minister, Becky Ellis, says yesterday that alcohol is one of the primary root causes of the high levels of crime. There are two things that are very important to note. That is the use of firearms, the availability of firearms, both legal and illegal, and the abuse of alcohol. These are the two contributing factors that contribute to most of the crime in the country. So these are just some of the things. There's a whole lot else that's making headlines in the country. But gearing up to the elections, you can see politicians are very busy promising the world to the taxpayers. These are just some of the things that are showing.
You know, Ahmad, what races through my mind, you talk about the conditions in this country. I mean, you look at the rich and the middle classes have largely been able to, to self-provision, from the private security to private health to private education. Even the the ruling party, even if the ruling party wins the 2024 elections, it will be diminished, and opposition parties and coalitions will likely govern in provinces like beyond the Western Cape, and maybe the federalism or the federation that we're talking about, that may become a reality. How you read into that, Ahmed?
Well, currently I want to tell you the focus of attention on these so-called coalition governments is not about the interest of the people at large. It is more about getting power, maintaining power, sustaining power and control, and more importantly, the financial resources. And that's why whoever governs, wherever they govern, you can see the state of those areas. So nothing has really improved. Now, let me tell you that if you look at the compromises you have to make if you want to remain in power, if you look at, you took the financial hub of Africa, every couple of months you want to change the mayor, you understand. If you look at what is happening with the EFF in coalition in Shwane and things, if you look at that 2 billion rand tender that was awarded in 23, it's a miracle. It's a first in the world. In 23 days, you went through the entire process and awarded the contract as well. Something you said about you normally want to insource, but there it is, you went and outsourced. So, it's all about what you can get your hands on. So let me tell you, South Africa is not ready for coalition government. The stats are there. Most of the coalition governments are failing in any event. Almost all of them have failed. There's not one that is running properly. And those that are governing, wherever they're governing, even on their own, haven't done any better. And then there's no indication or guarantee that they're going to do better. And the focus of attention in the next 5 years is, if this coalition government, is how to hold on to that power. So they're continuously fighting. People will be making demands. You don't meet the demands, they'll drop out of this coalition government. So it doesn't augur well for the country in the next 5 years, given the fact that you have a reduced revenue collection in the country. Cost of living is actually rising. The indications you might have a VAT increase. You can see the issue of, I had a call last night from brother in Redcliffe, is it? Yes. And his father-in-law is 77 years old. The money from SASSA came in and went out before he even got up to see it. He looked for it. It wasn't there. He went to the shop. Next thing, it came in at 10:45 at night. And by 5 o'clock in the morning, it was wiped out of his account as well. And so brilliantly done by Brother Jafford that when he went to SASSA to check it up, there's no record of it going out. No record. So you can see what is going on in the country. So whoever is governing, wherever, whether it's provincial or national government or local government, you can see the same. I've made about 30, 40 calls in this area that is affected now. Different councillors from different parties. Some of them are still fast asleep. Some might be enjoying a great breakfast somewhere. You understand. But thus far, I called a councillor last night, brother, at 10:20 last night. I got the supervisor to call. Do you know what he said to her when I gave her the phone, when he started the call at 10:20 last night? He says, good morning. 10:20 last night, good morning. And I said to her, now you think you're going to expect anything from him? And she has got nothing came. And that's how bad it is in the situation. So the quality of public representatives you got, that is where the focus should be, on the quality, to get people there that can get things done. There's no point in even the parties they belong to is just not fit for purpose. That's the unfortunate situation we find. So we've got trouble when it comes to coalition government. We are not ready for it. And you're going to have those that are going to hold others hostage or a ransom. Give me this and I'll work with you, or I won't. And when you give it to them, I want more and more and more. You don't give me, I'm pulling out, I'm going out. That's what's going to happen. So you have to compromise quality as well at the expense of the taxpayer.
Yeah, talking about quality. And, when you look at civil society or civil society organizations, and, they seek to influence the government into making decisions in the public interest. From that, government sometimes understands that certain segments of the population, what they need from them, and adjust the policy or framework accordingly. But the recent comments by public officials regarding civil society are not only distasteful and a way to pass the buck on their political failures, but they threaten the very democracy that they profess to hold in high regards. What's going on in this country, Ahmad?
Well, first of all, there's no control measures in place for civil society organizations, NGOs and NPOs, the funding that they get, what mandate that they get. And that is a very dangerous thing in the country. You know, if you remember, we were talking a whole lot about illicit financial flows, grey listing of the country because we're not compliant and all those things. But one thing we are failing to consider is that there's so much going on here where funding is coming into the country, and there's no accountability at all. Now, given the fact that there's no accountability and these monies are coming in, and then you got all these civil society organizations, many of them, in order to get funding, what do they do? They align themselves with certain political parties. And when you do that, what do? You lose your independence. And that's the other thing. And then political parties use NGOs, NPOs, taxi organizations and everything to be able to help them to recruit members and things. So that's the problem you're sitting with. They lose their independence, you're going to get nothing out of them. But very importantly, who do they account to? Nobody. They account to themselves. But look at the amount of money. Billions of rands goes into the hands of NGOs and NPOs.
Well, Ahmad, I'm looking at this message and it's really making me think. Anwar says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Manzoor. I'm a big fan of yours. But Mineral Resources and Energy Minister, Gued Montashe, he's insinuating that civil society organizations are funded by the CIA and in an effort to destabilize and undermine the South African government. He's making an accusation that could be 100% true. And Gued Montashe, I salute you. And I know all over the world, these civil societies are agents of certain governments. Ahmad, how you respond to your fan there, Anwar?
Jazakallah, brother Anwar. I appreciate that. No, I think you're absolutely correct. And Minister Montashe is correct. That a lot of the funding that is coming into the country comes in. And if you look at all over the world where you get regime changes, all over the world where you find there's mayhem and chaos and division and, you know, overthrowing assassinations and things like that when you don't suit a certain agenda. It's funded by the West and those outside. The Zionists are funding many in South Africa as well. Why do you think there are political parties in South Africa, including the DA and many others, IFP, all these? Why can they not see when simple, innocent children, women, and elderly, and everybody are dying at the hands of the Israelis? We are asking you to forget who you are, which party you belong to, but at least you must consider these are human beings. All the blood that you see right in front of you means nothing. Why? Is it because you're influenced by the money and the funding that you give? So yes, indeed, it's been common knowledge for many, many years that these organizations are all funded and funded by international funders as watchdogs, monitoring what is going on in the country to influence the decisions that you have. So there's a whole lot that's actually going on. And I think Minister Montashe is correct. But we've been allowing it to go on for too long. The emphasis is on illicit financial flows to terrorist organization. In the meantime, it's the other way around. United States is the biggest terrorist you can find anywhere in the world. But look at how they influence money to come in and you go out. Look at the amount of money in South Africa and go to Israel. And there's no measures to stop it. Of course, I'm working on that at the moment as my next target. But, you know, at the end of the day, South Africa is a free for all. You understand? It's a haven for criminality. The mafias are all coming into this country. Other governments are interfering. And I can tell you now that if the government continues of South Africa supporting the BRICS, every attempt is going to be made to try and rechange the regime in this country. As much as we all agree that the regime, the current government is failing us and we need a collective, but at the same time, it will be changed for the wrong reasons, not because they're failing the people or anything. But they are, it's going to be changed because it's not prioritizing the agenda of the Western world.
The brother says, yes, assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Mansoor Sheikh Imam. Yes, the civil societies, look at the Helen Suzman Foundation giving uphill battle to our Aaron Mussolady, the Minister of Home Affairs. This putting a spike in the wheels. I can tell you, these civil societies are working with the agenda from higher sources, and you're absolutely right. They are the terrorists that are terrorizing governments that are opposed to U.S. hegemony. Ahmad, how do you respond to that?
Well, let me tell you, one of the best ministers we have in the country is Aaron Mussolady, whether he was a minister of health. He's the only minister of health said, I don't want my people to die. I want to prevent them from even getting sick. Only minister thus far has said that. So I can tell you, and he's doing a fantastic piece of work trying to bring home affairs under control. He's just launched the border management agency this week to try and put greater measures on the border controls all over. But again, you know, I think what is important to note that anyone in this country, even from a government perspective, if you're taking on certain countries and certain individuals, you're always going to find that there will be those that will be opposing you. Now, remember, countries like countries in the West, France, Germany, the United States, the UK, and all these, Israel, they, remember, if you take look at the issue of HIV and AIDS, we all know HIV and AIDS was introduced to reduce the black population so that they can have their hands on and control of the whole of Africa. That has failed. We know at some stage they use colonization, you know, the issue using religion to divide us. Even that has now failed. Now, they are busy 24 hours with certain organizations set up in their own countries on how to influence what is happening in different countries all over the world so that they can maintain a grip over the rest of the world. That's what it is all about. And taking that into consideration, they fund these organizations like the Helen Suzman Foundation, NGOs and NPOs pushing for LGBTIQ, abortion, this, that, whatever it is causing me. They push for these things because it suits their agenda. You know, so look at the sanctions, for example, they put on Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe is what a beautiful country, but look at the state it is in only because of the sanctions. And that's why I come back to our former leader, Muammar Gaddafi, one Africa, one currency, one president. You understand, paying, you know, dealing your own currency, you know, so much. Only man that was able to do so much, and there they were killed. Look at what has happened in Iraq. Look at what in Syria. And the rest of the world just stood by and did nothing. Exactly what's happening in Palestine. Worse is that the Muslim countries are standing back and doing, some of them doing nothing about the atrocities against the Palestinian people. Why? Because they have been infiltrated by the CIA and all these organizations, funding these people, putting up organizations there. You look at Palestine for that matter. Palestine is divided. You know, you've got different organizations fighting each other. The purpose should be the common purpose, but no, the concentration is that when these people infiltrate you and they fund these organizations, they want you to cause mayhem and chaos and division. And it's working for them. So that's why, in fact, the BRICS is such a serious threat to them. I mean, President Putin is just saying the right things. There's no doubt about it. The Chinese premier is saying the right things at this point. The Brazilian one has said the right thing, besides that other Indian prime minister who's in another world, you know. But so hoping that if BRICS comes together and it's a formidable force standing together with many countries, already remember that they control, that they have, what, over 40% of the population amongst them in the world and control over one-third of the GDP. So they're going to get so strong if they do. But in order to get their relationship, you're going to get chaos. You're going to get mayhem. You're going to get, there'll be attempt to remove the regimes all over on those that are, you know, supporting these things. So that's what we have to be very, very careful about. NGOs and NPOs must be scrutinized. there must be accountability. They must account. Even political parties must account for where they're getting their money from. You understand? But look at the amount of money that, you know, all the systems we put in place don't work. This new political party funding act is not even worth the paper it's written on. How did EFF spend 100 million rand on a birthday bash? Tell me. So, you know, that's the problem we are faced with.
Absolutely, Ahmed. Looking at this message, it says, a great chat this morning, Brother Shafaz. A powerful show indeed. Public officials are not ordinary citizens, Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam. By virtue of choosing a life in public service, they implicitly also choose to conduct public life according to higher ethical standards than most individuals. Ahmed, that is a pipe dream. But your response to that?
Well, there is no doubt about it. I must agree with your caller, because at the end of the day, there is an expectation. Yes, one may argue you are a human being before you are a politician or whatever it is, or a public realm, but also there is an expectation for you to conduct yourself in a certain manner. One is being ethical. You must lead by example. Because you are a leader, people elected you, 400 of you, to be at the highest level of governance in South Africa or in any kind of, you know, part of the world. And of course, then you must straight away understand that the life you lead is no more normal, because your commitment is to the people. Everything you do, you need to understand, you know, if you misbehave in public or in whatever it is, you do the wrong things, you don't pay your maintenance for your children, you do all. It simply means that you are not fit for purpose. If you don't do it, how are you going to tell those that you... How do you go and tell it, rather, you must pay your maintenance when you don't do it? How are you going to tell your child don't take drugs if you are taking drugs? How do you tell your child don't take alcohol if you are taking alcohol? You understand? So how do you tell your child you must earn your living, live honestly, work hard, if you're not going to do that? So I must agree with him that that is what should happen, unfortunately. You know, that's where you come to the two things. Whether you are a public representative as a statesman or stateswoman, or you're a politician. If you're a statesman and stateswoman, the expectations are exactly what the brother said. If you're a politician, you're expecting the opposite.
No, absolutely, Ahmed. And I'm waiting for a message that's coming through. It's on our screen. It's already halfway through. I'm going to read it to you, right? It's from your very good friend, Farooq Sarkot. He says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafaz. I don't agree with the Sheikh Imam on one leader, one currency for Africa. He goes on to say, it's complicated. Will the citizens of the countries accept it? I mean, that's true, because, you know, then I'm going to add to that, the ideology, Christians, Muslims, and then, you know, you get the animism and all that will come into the play. And then you'll get politicking. In this sense, some are pro-Israeli, pro-Zionist. The churches in Africa are praying. Presently, not for Palestine. They are praying, P-R-A-Y-I-N-G. For who? For Israel. Whereas Israel is P-R-E-Y-I-N-G on the Palestinians. Your thoughts there, Ahmed? I added some masala to Farooq's question.
Jazakallah, my brother Farooq. And I know I owe you to return your call. You've been trying to get a hold of me, and we did speak briefly, but I will return your call, inshallah, today. It's been hectic. But yes, indeed, no. I think what Brother Farooq has got is saying, I don't think he disagrees with the principle of one, what Muammar Gaddafi wanted, which is one principle, one president, one Africa, African solution for African problems. You own your wealth, control your wealth, you know, use your own currency to your advantage. Don't depend on the dollar. And you know, so the vision that Muammar Gaddafi, and I know Brother Farooq does not have a problem with that. I think what he's saying here is that the division that exists, and this division and things has been caused by the West in any event, and others, you understand? And like he says, you know, based on religion, on greed, on selfishness, on a whole lot of things, it's not difficult to have, it's not easy to achieve it. But ideally, it is the solution to Africa, would have been the solution to Africa, because everybody comes and loots. And that is what he was trying to stop. No, you can't loot. You've got all the oil. use it to your advantage. You have all the arable land, use it to your, you have all the minerals, use it to your advantage. Why are you allowing others to use your wealth? You understand. That is the principle of what Muammar Gaddafi has said. But yes, I do agree with Brother Jabir. It's not easy to implement it because you can see what's happening in Africa. It's so divided, not just on race and religion and tribe and culture and everything else, greed and selfishness. Some of them are so easily bought off. So yes, it's a menace. But ultimately, if you had one united Africa, okay, which of course I can tell you, yes, it is a pipe dream because everybody wants to be a president. Everybody wants to be a leader. Nobody even wants to deputize. So it does make it. But ideally, if you did that and achieved that, I can tell you Africa would have been in the forefront. Africa would be leading today. Today, Africa's got everything but control, nothing, owns nothing. Everything is there of a handful of people. You are even at the mercy, if you read the report the other day, on how difficult it is. Africa paid 3 times more for the price of medication even during COVID than others did. Can you imagine? But yet it's the poorest continent.
Absolutely, Ahmed. And, when you look at many things happening around us and what is going through in this world of, mayhem and meretricious beauty, we just have to hold fast onto the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps your parting words this morning, Ahmed.
Only words, my brother. Only way to be able to achieve success is following the sunnah of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have everything, the guidance, the direction, the wisdom, the way of life. We have the Holy Quran. We have everything. And let's use that to explore. Let's use that to spread the message. Let's use that to encourage people to come on board. And a lot of them are. You can see we've gone from 1.6 billion to 2.2 billion. Yes, Islam is spreading very, very fast. The good thing is, well, the sad thing about it is that it's not spreading because they are following you and me, but it's because they're doing their research. And yet we should be the examples for them to follow, which we are not doing. That comes back to what Brother, I think, Farooq Sirkot was saying, that, the way we conduct ourselves will make it very difficult. But again, I want to say things are getting very difficult in the country. Very tough. The statement expected by the minister shortly on the medium-term budget policy statement that is on the 1st of November, or for all intents and purposes, sounds like it's going to be increasing that and whatever it is, which is going to be a disaster for the country. And you can see the high prices. We discussed something in the week, I think it was about the shock prices of food products and how you should shop wisely and where you should shop. And I know you sent me one of those pictures, and yes, you had it spot on. That's exactly what I was talking about. And I think people need to now spend very, very wisely. Don't take major financial decisions where you're going to end up, being indebted to financial institutions and things. Just wait till the 1st of November to see what the minister's plan is for the medium term before you take any big decisions when it is about financial implications.
Jazakallah khair, Ahmed. You have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. Pray for the people of Palestine. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.